Yeah, well, I think that if you follow my work, you know that I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of calibrating language. Any practitioner out there in service of patients or clients should be doing the same, because I think, you know, that language really does show you where there's work to be done in that brain. And if you are able to identify sort of the root of where that yeah, but self-talk is coming from, you're going to get at that limited belief system that really is the opportunity for growth in that patient, in that client's mindset.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of entrepreneurs and go-getters. Your business, body balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring.
Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there.
So speaking of a badass, there is one concept that if it interrupts the flow in our brain, it can take us off the pathway of momentum faster than most other things I know. And that is this concept of imposter syndrome. I had this experience a few weeks ago where I walked into this big room at a big conference with big people doing big things. And the first thing that came into my mind was, whoa, I am not ready for this stage. And as I sat there and as I looked around and as I thought about what people were doing and who was sitting beside me and what they were contributing to the world, what I realized is that I was sabotaging myself simply with my mindset, not by my experience or what I had done. And so as I wanted to explore this concept of imposter syndrome, and as I listened to people post about it online and I listened to women talk about it in my practice, I could think of no one better than to help me unpack this concept and move through it and take you through it than the one and only Susan Hobson. Susan is an NLP coach. She works with executives. She works with athletes. She works with people who want to take their game to the next level. She has been a guest on the podcast before, and she is going to be one of our headline keynote speakers at our upcoming Impact Lives event taking place in Toronto at the end of October. I wanted to reintroduce you to her, her thoughts, her ideas, her capacity to take you to the next level. And I really wanted her to rip apart this concept of imposter syndrome and the other things that we do to interrupt our capacity to impact and have influence on the world in a really big way. It is my pleasure to introduce you to my very good friend, Susan Hobson.
Susan Hobson, welcome back to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm excited to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to be back.
I know. Exactly. Have you here again? There's only a select number of people who have made a second appearance on the Entrepology Podcast. So I'm really excited to get into this.
I feel so honored. Second lap around the track. Let's do this.
Well, and why I'm so excited to have you back is there's a few mindset pieces that I really want to address with you. And I also wanted to go into these pieces because you are going to be one of the people keynoting our Impact Lives event that is taking place at the end of October. And I wanted people to just be reminded of just how incredibly insightful you are and frankly, how challenging you are at the same time. Because you have this inescapable way of just throwing the truth down. And when the truth gets thrown down, there's really no choice but to pick it up. And if you're going to impact lives, you have to be willing to do that. So thank you for being here and for doing that event with us in October, which I'm super excited about.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I'm absolutely honored to be here, to be scheduled to speak there. I can't wait to get in front of your crowd and have the opportunity to impact them. That, for anybody who follows my work, is the mission that I'm on as a practitioner myself, as a high performance coach, is just really with this high level information I was exposed to at a young age. I'm just trying to pay it forward by passing it along to people just like your audience who are in the trenches, you know, having that ripple effect, really impacting the lives of so many people. So I'm really excited for this event you've put together. I can't wait to attend a lot of the sessions myself. I know that there's going to be so much value come out of that experience. So let's give them a little taste test. Let's whet the appetite, shall we?
Let's do that. I'm just jumping right over you because I'm like, I really want to get into this one big concept and question. And that is the notion of imposter syndrome. And this is a concept that I hear over and over again with my clients. I hear people posting or see people posting about it online. And I went to a big event in San Diego a few weeks ago, and I walked into this room, and the event was called the Mindshare Summit. And there are some big, there's some big deal people doing some big moving and shaking things in that room. And I caught myself when I first walked in, and I was like, oh, there's Alan Christensen, and there's Isabella Wentz, and there's Dave Asprey. And I was like, what am I doing here? And I pulled myself out of that really, really quickly, but it threw me into this place right off the bat of, oh gosh, you're just totally faking it. These people are doing it and you are just pretending to be here. And I was like, this is maybe the most detrimental psychology I could engage in walking into this type of event. But I know, and I'm being truthful, because I know this is a psychology that we all confront and face in various settings. So can we please unpack the notion of imposter syndrome, what the heck it is, how we get there, and then how we pull ourselves out of it so quickly?
Yeah, I love this this hot topic. It's absolutely a concept that I see all the time in the chair. Believe it or not, I work with some titans in high performance. And most people are shocked when I tell them that a lot of these people actually come through my door, you know, for the first time with imposter syndrome, hitting the brick wall because they're realizing that the success that they've achieved has really been created on a false foundation of self. So what do I mean by that, Meg? What does that drum up in your mindset, that terminology, a false foundation of self?
Yeah, I think for me, sometimes I think, oh, well, maybe all of that success was just by accident. Like, maybe that was just the right day at the right time, but it wasn't because I actually had any skill that supported it. And I feel like that's what happens to me when I get caught in that imposter syndrome mindset or place. I'm like, oh, that was just luck. And now I need skill. And all those people have skill. And they, like, maybe they had a bit of luck, but they definitely have got something that I don't. And it's amazing how quickly we can go there.
Yeah, it is amazing. And I think that it can be a really great strategy when you're starting out. I know specifically we're talking to clinicians. So as an entrepreneur, some aspect of just getting, you know, in the chair or in the office with a client or a patient is kind of just faking it till you make it. Right? Like, it's really just, you don't really have tons of proof yet when you're first opening your doors and getting to work. So I think that can be a great, you know, starting point, but it's definitely not a sustainable strategy for success. Like I said, a lot of times when I meet people coming through my door, it's because really they're realizing, despite all the wins, all the victories, you know, 10 or 20 years of building a business successfully, they still really just don't feel confident. And that's because, you know, no amount of victories or wins or, you know, moments of success are enough when you're coming from a false foundation of self, meaning that you have a belief system or a mindset that you're faking it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that this is probably a lot of the times where the imposter syndrome comes from, is that it's never good enough, right? Mm-hmm. No matter how many times, you know, you're able to get that win, if it doesn't count as a win, because there's always somebody else that's ahead of you on the track, or somebody around you that's doing it better, or has been in the game a bit longer, you're always chasing it. And no amount of that proof is ever enough to really create that strong foundation of confidence.
How do we start to shift that? Because I find myself sometimes I'll be listening to someone who's utterly incredible and achieved amazing things. And they're like, oh, you know what? I feel like if I walk into this next event, I'm going to have total imposter syndrome. And my gut wants to say to them, oh my gosh, like, you just have to get over that. because it's totally not true. But that is maybe the least constructive feedback I could give someone who is in the throes of feeling that way. So how do we unpack it? What is the first thing that we have to do when we catch ourselves being like, oh gosh, I'm not good enough compared to these people, or I'm totally faking it? Who am I to give that webinar or that keynote or any of those particular talks?
First of all, who are you not to? If you've got an important message to spread, like I just opened up our conversation today saying, whether I was at the start of the game as an entrepreneur or where I'm at right now, a decade into it, I was on a mission to spread information that I had. So whether you're opening up your door for the first time or you've been doing it for a long time, we got to just really examine and unpack the mindset of what is enough. Like, what does that even mean to be good enough, right? I think that's where the strong foundation of self comes from and should come from if it's going to be, you know, legitimate confidence. It's an intrinsic experience of what is enough for you. And what is the goal for you? If you're constantly chasing those people around you who are doing it better or doing more of it or have been doing it longer, that's a goal you're never going to reach. So how the heck are you ever going to get that proof that your brain needs to actually start growing and solidifying your confidence? Mm-hmm. So it really is the mindset that I work on with this type of client, which is really just, you know, intrinsically knowing that the goal is always just you showing up and doing the very best that you can at whatever age, the stage of game you're at, of business you're at, of life you're at. It's just really just knowing who you are and knowing the value that you bring. First day of business, 10 years into it, like me, and just really intrinsically validating that as being, you know, the thing that you're going to bring to the table that really is valuable to the other person that's going to have that experience.
How do we interrupt the yeah buts? Because even as you're saying that, I can picture some of my clients who'd be listening to this and they're going, that's great, but... Like that is their psychology. That is the neuronal pathway for them. Every time a solution is thrown their way, they yeah, but it. So how do we interrupt that? Because it's easier to build new neuronal pathways than it is to break the old ones. So where do we go?
Yeah, well, I think that if you follow my work, you know that I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of calibrating language. Any practitioner out there in service of patients or clients should be doing the same, because I think, you know, that language really does show you where there's work to be done in that brain. And if you are able to identify sort of the root of where that yeah, but self-talk is coming from, you're going to get at that limited belief system that really is the opportunity for growth in that patient, in that client's mindset, you know, and that's how you overcome it, is you have to just really learn as a practitioner or a clinician how to navigate around those limited beliefs and how to really get at the root of where they're coming from so that you can challenge them and you can get past them. Because the yeah, buts, I mean, that's just your brain coming up with the limited proof that it really needs to challenge so that it can actually feel confident.
Is there a new dialogue that we could engage in instead of saying, yeah, but, to open up the possibilities? And here's the example. So it doesn't matter whether I'm talking about a clinician entrepreneur or an entrepreneur in a different realm. I feel like we hit these ceilings of complexity and almost like these paradigm limitations of how big or how far our business can go. And then some kind of experience drives us through that belief or through that imaginary ceiling, and then we're like, whoa, so much more that I'm capable of. But is there a dialogue or a practice that we can engage in that make us more attuned to getting past those ceilings and those limiting beliefs?
I think if you listen to the yeah buts, you can really start to sense the emotion behind it is quite limiting, right? You can feel that is language that is just going to close that person up and not give them the resources that they need to actually explore the possibility of what could be. So I think if you're looking for a quick tool, it's just a quick reframe on that, which is just, yeah, rather than yeah, but how about what if, you know, I love that sort of self-talk because it just opens up the brain to possibility. When it's sort of a lead into thinking about like what could be possible if it was to be a bit more expansive and to be able to entertain the possibilities of, you know, what could come in the future rather than the limitations that are based on just not having that kind of proof.
And have you had experiences in your life or with your clients where they're sitting in that space where they're like, oh, I'm just not at that level. I'm not ready to engage. And maybe your own story is a really good place to start, and how you broke through that.
Yeah. So this is a great question. I think there's no better evidence than just how I stumbled upon all of this information for the first time in my own experience. For those of you who don't know my story, just a little background on it is I had thought that I had all the confidence in the world when I was a young girl. I was playing elite level hockey, knowing I wasn't going to make millions of bucks in the NHL. I set my sights and my what ifs and my dreams on getting the best education I could. And that was great because I was getting a lot of, you know, external validation for just how well I was doing. I got to be one of the most heavily recruited athletes in my sport, hockey, to an Ivy League school. And that's really where I realized that I was experiencing the imposter syndrome. That's really where, you know, I thought I had all this wonderful, strong foundation of self going into a place like Princeton University. And competing in an NCAA Division I sport. And I actually hit the brick wall, like many of my clients do when they walk through my door for the first time, like I said. And because I wasn't on the ice as a freshman, I was bench riding and wasn't really getting out there to score the goals and doing all those sort of external tricks and strategies that I was used to doing to gain confidence. I crashed and I burned, and I realized how fickle and weak my foundation of self really was. And so that's where I got the opportunity to expose this imposter syndrome in my own mindset, get exposed to the limited beliefs that I had because I just never had that kind of next level experience where I really was testing my confidence and had the opportunity to learn about what real confidence, you know, means and what it looks like and how to build it. And how to solidify it and continue to solidify it, to this very day. I always say that experience for me, Meg, really taught me the importance of the brain training that I teach my clients, which is just the discipline of realizing that confidence is like any other muscle in your body. It's something that, you know, that you need to spend time in that mental gym with those mental exercises training and reinforcing. And so, yeah, this is where I got exposed to what real confidence looks like. And that's what put me on a path to really, like I said, being on a mission to share this with as many people as I possibly can, because I wish they were teaching this in school. Like I have a 6-year-old, and I'm like, I was telling a client this morning, I'm constantly having these sorts of conversations with her because we're really kind of sold a false bit of goods in terms of what should be making us feel good about ourselves and should be setting us up for life. So this is where I first got exposed to really learning about how to do that internal work. And that's why I'm excited to bring this to your audience too, because again, you and I have this conversation all the time. This is not stuff that I was learning in coaching school or you were learning in ND school, right? As an entrepreneur, I don't think that we are taught these valuable lessons that really predict how well we're going to pan out in business and how many people we're going to be able to help.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And I've got two questions coming off of that. And the first is, do you feel that women have a harder time accessing their confidence than men?
Yeah, I think it's tough, right? Like for women, I'll tell you just in my experience, I'm a mother of a daughter, a 6-year-old little girl, and I'm really seeing this being hyper-exposed already. She's just going into grade 2. I feel like the comparathon and, you know, the emphasis that's put on to little girls to really, you know, just internalize that sort of societal feedback in terms of what makes them good enough, right? And what their confidence should be based on. I feel like the messaging there, and again, this is perpetuated in my opinion in the media, even just some of the storybooks I caught myself reading her about, you know, princesses and princes. And I just feel like, I sometimes do feel like as a mother of a little girl and just as a girl myself, that is a little bit more of an uphill battle. you know, for girls to really just know their worth intrinsically is something that I'm constantly working on with Brooklyn. So I prepare her for going out in the world and seeing everybody else, you know, compare themselves to one another. So it's definitely feedback that I've noticed coming from her. But let's be honest, you and I are girls too. I know in business that has, in my experience, been a little bit more of an uphill battle just in terms of the belief systems that I was exposed to as a girl going into business, you know, in terms of what the stats were at the time or, you know, just in terms of just the associations of business being sort of more of a masculine thing.
Yeah, and I will say on a physiological level on that question, it's one thing I've watched a lot. I do a lot of hormonal testing in my practice, and I look at, for men and women, and I look at hormonal levels, and women naturally will have less testosterone than men, but we certainly have it. But I'll listen to the stories of male entrepreneurs, and I'm making sweeping generalizations here, so I'm not trying to offend anyone, but I'm going to plow through anyways, and I'll listen to the accomplishments. And I have a friend in HR, and she and I had this conversation, and it was really fascinating. But I'll listen to the accomplishments of the man who's stepping in front of me, and he will be very well accomplished. And I'll listen to the accomplishments of a similar woman, and he is just like, oh, I'm going to ask for my raise. I'm going to step forward. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It's no problem. And she's like, well, you know, once I see evidence of this, then maybe I will ask about possibly being, like, there's so much hesitancy around owning her achievements. And I see it over and over and again. Again, there's always differences, but overwhelmingly, I feel like men step into their confidence with much greater ease. And I'm curious whether it's a testosterone piece, but that was one of the observations that I was interested in hearing your perspective on, because I feel like the barrier to entry for confidence is lower for men than for women.
I think evolutionarily speaking, just where my brain goes is just, you know, men went out of the cave and had to be brave and courageous and go hunt and gather. And we had to be more of the nurturer, right? And more of the sensitive and the aware of other people's feelings so we could be in tune as mothers and caretakers and, right? Like, I think that that probably plays a role in it. I mean, you would know more than I would, but from a physiological standpoint, for sure.
Mm-hmm. It's just really interesting to me. And as I work with more women, like, the rally cry that I want to throw behind them is that sometimes all you need to do is just actually step into it. Like, you are just as competent and have the same base skills as some of your counterparts, but the difference is they're just doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think whether you're male or female, it's just about owning who you are and the value you bring, like I said. And I think that, I think it's a skill set. I think some of us have to work harder at knowing thyself than others, depending on, you know, what you've been exposed to and what's living and breathing in your mindset in regards to your self-concept. It's an interesting conversation for sure.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we transition from how do I believe that I should be in that space to, okay, I'm in that space, I'm ready to step up. How do we work with people around mindset so that they are in a state of expansive thinking? And maybe it's, again, moving away from the yeah buts, but if we get them to a place where they're like, okay, I'm ready to take some step forward, but not, again, even subconsciously throwing any limited beliefs on what that could possibly mean. I feel like I work with so many people coaching businesses and in my practice where they step into new opportunities, but already with a preconceived idea of where they could go. How do we start to break that piece down for them?
Yeah, well, I think what I would do with anybody as a starting point is just teach them to pay attention to how they feel. And really, I spend a lot of time with my clients teaching them how to calibrate their emotions, because their emotions are valuable intel into their brain, into their belief systems, into their mindset. Really showing you if your brain's conditioning and hardwiring is in support of you or in sabotage of you, right? So if people are stepping into a space and it feels constricted or it feels terrifying or it feels whatever it feels, you know, that's unresourceful, then again, it's just really teaching them how to unpack those belief systems and giving them, you know, the skill set to be able to challenge them and create more empowering resourceful stories, because at the end of the day, it's that belief system that's going to predict how that result pans out. But yeah, I think it's teaching them the discipline of how to take ownership of their mindset, take responsibility for it, because again, it's the thing that's running the show. Brain runs the show. Brain runs on patterns. Patterns are predictable. I love to teach that and discipline that in my clients' thinking. It's really just teaching them how to get to the root of the mindset that they really need to train and hardwire in order to be congruent with the results that they want to achieve.
So you said something there and I was like, oh, that's classic Susan Hobson in terms of just like throwing these accountability bombs in one's direction. And you said they need to take responsibility for that mindset and for those patterns.
Yeah.
How do they do that? Like, I feel like it's one of those classic things of like, once you know better, you do better. So now everyone listening knows better. You have to take responsibility for your own mindset. You're only allowed to sabotage yourself for so long before you have to step up and do something about it. Where do people start in terms of interrupting that? Does that mean 10 years of therapy to unpack their childhood? Or is there a good platform and starting point they need to go to?
Heck no. That's why I got into NLP, which is my my expertise. It's the brain training I keep referring to. It's like really getting in there. Look, I work with high achievers. They don't have a lot of time. They want the results quickly, right? So it's just, yeah, it's teaching people how to get into that mindset and to be able to rearrange their thinking and their neural associations quickly so that they can have big impact quickly. But accountability and responsibility, come on, guys. If you're in it to win it and you're here to play your biggest game, I mean, it starts there, right? I always say to my clients, there's nothing better than taking responsibility and ownership for your results because it makes you responsible, mm-hmm. right? And this is what was really inspiring to me when I first got exposed to the power of this brain training stuff. It was showing me that, you know, my first year at Princeton, I arrived there not having the first damn clue as to what my belief systems were. I just knew that I was using strategies that I thought were working until I found out they clearly weren't sustainable ones because they were out of my control. There's nothing more in control than being able to take ownership of what's living and breathing in your head. And having the tools and the discipline to be able to align that and to hardwire that autopilot, 95% of your choices every day coming from that autopilot, to be able to align that with what it is that you're going after. I mean, if you are really on a mission, you take your purpose seriously, that means something very, very, very important to you, then you want to take ownership and responsibility for this stuff because you know that that's going to be the biggest predictor of whether or not you're going to get there.
And is having that clarity of purpose and where you want to go the first step to pulling through any of this mud that we're talking about?
Oh my gosh, it's the step. I mean, it's the first step. It's exactly what I immediately get working on. The second you walk through my door, I get testing out your clarity. Most people are shocked when I say this, but I'd say 9 times out of 10, people don't know exactly what they want. And that's the power of working with, you know, someone like yourself, someone like me, somebody who forces you to have to go there and create new neural pathways in your brain and to create new proof in your brain, right? To create new experience in your brain, experience that hasn't yet happened, but that you really say you want to happen. Clarity is power for the brain. It needs those resources. If it's going to start developing these belief systems we've been talking about that empower you to take the action towards making it happen. Yeah, I think that is absolutely the starting point for anybody who is going on a mission to achieve big things and play their biggest game.
And do you have resources for people who are like, I don't know. I don't know what I want. I don't know where I want to go. And I'm thinking it might be the new grad coming out of school. And maybe someone who's like, I want to be an entrepreneur, but I don't know what my mission is all about. And I have some patients who are like, I've been trying to find that for 25 years. So do you have an exercise or do you have a resource or do you have a place that you send people to start so that they are inspired to tap into that?
Yeah, I think this is, again, what I got exposed to that I have now built a practice and a process based on that works extremely well. for helping people realize their highest potential in any area, life, business, health, it's all the same, right? The exercise and the starting point is just know thyself. It's really, really, really simple, you guys. Every single thing that you're going after in business and health and money and relationships, it all starts from a foundation of self and knowing who you really are and really getting clear in terms of that value that you bring, really getting clear in terms of what makes you tick, in terms of what's most important to you, your core values. So I think the starting point is just to really see if you, if you're like me, I had spent all my time going outside rather than inside, right? To get that validation of what was important. That was unfortunately, you know, the self-sabotaging path that my mindset was on because it developed these extrinsically motivated strategies to gain confidence. I think the turnaround and the starting point is to go inward rather than outside, to get to know yourself based on who you are, which is based on your values, your skills, your strengths, your talents, your attributes. I think that that is for any new grad or anybody starting out in business, it's very important that you start out on that strong foundation of self.
Yeah. And I was linking that back in my own mind to our conversation at the beginning about the imposter syndrome. And if we set our own metrics and we are living up to our own standards, it's so much easier to bypass that imposter syndrome because we're no longer reliant on that external motivation.
Yeah. I was talking to a client about this morning. It's like, it's so funny for me. It's fun because, you know, doing this a decade in the trenches, helping people know thyself. We really didn't get the right message, you know, growing up. If we thought that, you know, our best life was going to happen by trying to be somebody else.
Right.
You know, role models can be very great. They can inspire you. They can get you started on a path. But at the end of the day, you have to have a model for that intrinsically that is really going to make sense for you. And chasing anything other than that formula just doesn't result in happiness, which doesn't result in success. Believe it or not, happiness and success, I think, are kind of the same thing. You know how that manifests in people's health if they're chasing the wrong goals or they're valuing the wrong things because they don't actually know who they are. It's the imposter syndrome because you're literally an imposter. You're not getting the point. The point is being you and just doing you to the best of your ability. Like, that's it. That's all.
Yeah. And I just want to cloak something here before we move on to that second half of the interview. And that is because I know I'm listening to the internal dialogue of some people and they are getting caught in their reinforcing beliefs. But I feel like perfectionism needs to get called out here because I will have perfectionists who are saying, oh, yeah, I have all my own metrics. I'm not reliant on anybody else. It's just my standards are so darn high for myself. That I can never live up to them. And I feel most of the time when you break apart those perfectionists, and I'm sure you have some ideas on this, they are just like, their perfectionism is always in alignment with somebody else. Like, to me, it's the ultimate manifestation of that externalization. But people think that they're going inward. Like, it's just sort of the ultimate cycle of lies that we tell ourselves. I'm totally being harsh on that, but perfectionism, I feel like, is one of those concepts right up there with imposter syndrome that really is a boulder on that path to progress. And you may have a different perspective on it, but I wanted to call that out because I don't want any of the perfectionists squeaking by through this episode without having an opportunity to be called to attention on that.
Yeah, I'll raise my hand and I'll claim it. I definitely am a reformed perfectionist myself.
Me too.
Still in reformation, might I add, because I feel like, again, like I said, it's a discipline that you got to keep working at. But I think, you know, if anybody really peels back the layer on perfection, you see that it's a race that you will never win. What I like to teach my clients about that is that, if you're a perfectionist, that's a goal you never reach. Therefore, that's proof that you need for your confidence that you're never getting. You're always feeling like a failure if your standards are so high and impossible that you can never make them. And also it keeps you on the sidelines. When your brain is doing its job, keeping you safe and alive, trying to gauge how decisions are going to play out, And it says, wow, can I do this perfectly? Because perfection's a goal. And the read on that is no, I can't do it perfectly. Then guess how many opportunities you bow out of, right? Guess how many times you don't opt to jump in the ring or jump on the field or jump, you know, into that business opportunity or put yourself out there for fear of being, of not being perfect. So perfection is absolutely a losing strategy. It just, in the long run, you know, you see it with health, and we've talked about how that shows up in your practice. But for me, it's the fixed mindset, and I'll call it out as soon as I sniff it in the room. I can read it from a mile away. It always shows up in the language, like I said, and it's something that I immediately go gunning for because I know I got to open up that brain. And I got to get it into more of a growth mindset so that it, again, is starting to, just generate the more expansive thinking that's going to lead to more opportunities to achieve their goals.
Well, and I love what you said there. Perfectionism keeps you on the sidelines. What a perfect way of describing it. And I don't want to pick on perfectionists. I want to give them an opportunity to step into a new way of thinking. And part of the insight that we get in terms of way of thinking is looking at how someone lives their own life.
On October 26th and 27th, we're doing something really special in Toronto. For those of you who have been hanging out on the Anthropology podcast for a period of time, you know that we are driven by the mission that when people are well, they can change the world. On October 26th and 27th, I'm going to be hosting an event in Toronto called Impact Lives. This event has been designed for clinician entrepreneurs and wellness entrepreneurs in general who want to learn how to amplify their business. We are bringing in keynote speakers from across North America and implementation session leaders to help you not only become more inspired with respect to your business, but to learn new skills that you can start to implement right away. Whether you want to launch your own podcast, write your first book proposal, or create a system for patient acquisition or new clients that takes your business to the whole new level, we have got your back. Impact Lives is a two-day event taking place at the Globe and Mail Center in downtown Toronto in a stunning venue that overlooks the city. It's going to bring together 150 passionate entrepreneurs looking to take the lives of their families, themselves, and the people that they work with to a whole new level. For those of you who have been loyal listeners, I would love to have you there. There is a coupon code that I am releasing just for listeners of the Anthropology podcast. That is Anthropology20. And if you go to impactlivesevent.com, you can use that coupon code to receive 20% off the ticket price for the event happening in October. I cannot wait to see action takers, go-getters, and anthropologists like yourselves there when we gather together for Impact Lives.
This is a really great place to transition to the second part of our interview. And in this portion of the interview, I call them our KPIs, or key performance indicators. So just like we have them in our business, I believe them, and we have them in our lifestyles as well. So I've got 6 rapid fire questions for you.
Hit me.
First one, do you have a consistent evening routine? And if so, can you share?
Yes, I'm a huge, huge fan of unpacking my day at the end of the day. I wake up with a little girl. I got to get her all ready for school and to school. And then I'm in the chair with clients, and I'm knee deep in their experience all day. You know, same thing with Brooklyn on the backside. I just think the discipline of making sure I take time to actually honor my own experience and unpack it. I know some people like the 5-minute journal. I love an app I use called iMood Journal, where I'm just able to get in there and just do exactly what I just told you I do with all my clients, unpack those red flag emotions, see what limited beliefs are hiding out behind them, seeing if there's a little work that needs to be done so I can be intentional for the next day. But that is absolutely my nightly mental gym routine and discipline.
So brilliant. Fiction or nonfiction? What are you reading right now?
I got referred to an awesome book I'm really enjoying on my runs. I listen to the audibles, you know, by a client. It's called The Power of Full Engagement. And I believe the author's name is Jim Lohr. And it's just so up my alley. You know, this is what I teach people, right? Is the power of being in the peak state and fully showing up, getting the most out of things. And so, yeah, I'm getting some really helpful, tips and tricks to add to my repertoire.
What is the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
Definitely my workouts. I'm a former professional hockey player, and so that discipline has really served me well in my life. It's a discipline that's never gone away because I, as a high performance athlete, got to see just how much that feeds me in all the other areas of my life. It helps me manage, you know, I've got Crohn's disease, so it helps me manage that. It helps me manage just fully showing up and being energized all day with my clients, my daughter, and my, you know, my workouts feed me. It's like, it's a formula for me even making better, you know, dietary decisions. So that's just number one for me, 6 workouts a week. That's my commitment to myself. And that's one that really has a positive ripple effect in all the other areas of my health.
So amazing. I know. And I watch you live that. It's amazing. I love how authentic you are. And when you're talking about these things, like, you are truly doing, you're truly doing them. There's no imposter here. Like, you're living this. What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
How do I choose? There's so many things. Something badass about me is I started playing hockey again. I jumped into... I got called up by some ex-pro teammates of mine saying, oh, we need a couple extra bodies last winter. And I went into it and not knowing that it was actually going to be a whole bunch of current like Olympians and pro players. And it was a little out of this mom coming out of retirement league, shall we say. But it's been the most amazing experience for me. Total childlike state. It's amazing how you just kind of time machine right back into it, even though I haven't played in over a decade. It's crazy, but that's pretty badass. You know, I separated my shoulder playing a couple.
And you just carried on. You just kept seeing people, and there are no excuses. You just kept going. It was amazing.
Yeah, I think that's pretty badass.
And last question for you, entrepreneurism. Are we born this way, or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
It's a tough question. And I feel like maybe throughout the years, I've kind of bounced back and forth. My experience, I grew up with an entrepreneur. So sometimes I feel like it was in my blood. Some of it was just the fact that I had that as a role model and being exposed to that, those belief systems of what if and the possibilities that come with entrepreneurship. But I also now in my practice as a high performance coach working with a lot of entrepreneurs, I can see that there's a very specific skill set that can be trained. There's a very specific mindset that can be trained. And so, yeah, I think if you're somebody who is aware of the fact that you have some sort of purpose that needs to be shared in an entrepreneurial way, I feel like that's enough. And I feel like a lot of the other stuff can be trained.
I love that. People are going to want to follow up with you. Susan, where can they find out more about what you're up to?
You guys can come find me, hang out at my website there, elitehighperformance.com. We've got an awesome quiz that I want you all to take immediately following this podcast. Are you a high achiever or a high performer? I think that is a wonderful starting point for anybody who's curious to learn more about how to engage with the high performance coaching that I offer. And there's also a community page on Facebook called The Mental Gym, where I'm really just trying to interact with all of you and hear about what aspects of brain training you want to learn more about so that I can hit you with that specific training. And you can find me on Facebook there.
And I will also add that people can find you live on stage at Impact Lives, which is taking place in Toronto on the 25th, 26th, and 27th of October. And anyone who is listening to the Entrepology podcast can use the coupon code Entrepology20 if they go to impactlivesevent.com, and you can get 20% off a ticket to Impact Lives. We'd love to see you there. Susan is going to be opening the show, offering all sorts of tips and tricks and tools to take you to that next level. Susan, thank you so much for being here.
My absolute pleasure, Meg. Thanks for having me. Can't wait to see you guys all at the event. Get brain training on that mindset.
Bye, hon. Thank you.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Entrepology podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.